those of you who have your Bibles, be following us along on the screen. I want to lift up two passages of scriptures as contained in the book of Acts. The first being Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. Acts 1, verses 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Look with me now again at Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, second wind. Second wind. Church, Jesus declared in John 3 and 8, as he informed the inquiring mind of Nicodemus about being born of the Spirit. Jesus said these words, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It is interesting that Jesus compares the Spirit to wind that blows. But it is not a quiet wind, but it makes a sound. Jesus also makes it crystal clear that we cannot constrain or control where the Spirit comes from or where the Spirit goes. The point that should be noted is that whenever the Spirit moves, it is like the wind blowing. What an interesting combination we have this Sunday, as we observe Pentecost this Sunday, and then last Sunday, we celebrated Mother's Day. Now, I'm not going to preach a Mother's Day sermon, but I want to show a correlation as we lift up the mother of Jesus, Mary, and combined it with the purpose of Pentecost. So follow me as the two come together in relationship to being relevant one to another. Matthew 1 and 18 states, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Amen. When Mary, the virgin girl who would be chosen and highly favored to be the mother of Jesus, was only possible because the wind blew. The Holy Spirit came upon her. And she did in the natural a supernatural thing. It is this pattern that we see in the life of Mary's encounter with the wind, the Holy Spirit, that gives indication as to how the Spirit operates in our lives. It empowers us in our natural condition to transact supernatural business. When the wind blows, Jesus declares that we hear the sound. And I believe that when the wind blew on Mary, she heard the sound and received her instructions concerning the assignment that was given to her. There is something special, church, something unique about getting an assignment from God. And although there may be others around you, but no one can hear and know what you heard and know, because it is uniquely given to you. Every born-again believer is given a unique assignment when it comes to serving this present age. But no one can go in the power of God until the wind blows. Somebody said, "Let the wind blow." When God created humanity in the beginning, we were informed that man did not become a living soul until God blew into man. And in the beginning, the wind was blowing. Could it be that the lesson we should learn is that if there is ever a need for life and purpose to take place in the circumstances of our lives, we need the wind to blow. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when the wind blows, something anew and fresh takes place. When the wind blows, an empty place will become full. When the wind blows, a dead situation will take on new life. Amen. You remember the prophet Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. They were laying there, and he said they were very dry. And they did not do anything until the wind of the Spirit began to blow in that valley. Those dead bones came together and took on life and became a mighty army. I tell you, you can come alive again when the wind blows over your life. When the wind blows, an unsolvable situation will give way to a workable solution. When we pray, let us not just limit ourselves to asking God to help us to do this, that, and the other. But let us expand our territory by inviting the wind to blow over our circumstances. Pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire and make our lives full and complete. The Bible informs us that when Mary was informed about her assignment, she accepted it by declaring, "Let it be with me according to your word." Yes, this is to say that not only when the wind blows, it gives life, but another aspect of the wind blowing proposition is that it requires us to yield. This is perhaps the most important aspect of walking with God and encountering the Holy Spirit, because when you're giving a supernatural promise, it will not be understood by those who are not spiritual. And you will have to endure the skeptics, the doubters, and the haters. But if you yield and obey, how many of you know God will take your haters and turn them into elevators and lift you up higher than where you ever gone before? You see, here is Mary. Her challenge was to hold fast to the wind-blowing proposition throughout the life of Jesus. She did it all the time, and she did it with great faith. You Bible readers will remember that the first miracle Jesus performed at a wedding in Cana, Galilee, when the wine ran out, Mary urged Jesus to do something about the situation. And it was Jesus who took water and gave them good wine to drink. And it was out of that situation that Mary operated with a faith, because she knew that if anyone could impact that situation, her son Jesus was the one. Had not Mary yielded to believing in the power of the wind blowing in her life, the power of the Holy Spirit, she would not have bothered Jesus. But because she pressed upon him, Jesus turned water into wine. Church, when you yield to faith, to believe in the power of God, you must at all times take a risk and step out and trust the sound of the wind. You got to trust God to do what no one or nothing else can do. Those who received their healing took risk, casting their cares on the Lord, because they heard the sound of the wind and saw in Jesus the answer to their predicaments. Some shouted while folk told them to be quiet, like blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. Some crawled on their hands and knees, like the woman with an issue of blood, just to touch his garment. You see, some stepped out in the hostile territory, like the Syrophoenician woman who begged Jesus to heal her daughter When Jesus told her that he could not give her the children's bread, she replied, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You remember Mary Magdalene, who took expensive perfume, broke it open and poured it on Jesus and wiped it with her hair. They took risks and they stood on faith because they heard the sound of the wind blowing. And they knew that there was power in the person of Jesus Christ. Church, Edisto Falk, do you trust the sound of the wind? Mary did, and she did it with great pride. But then there would come a time when she would do it with great pain. Jesus would face the cruelty of being betrayed, charged with false accusations, and ultimately face the death penalty by being crucified. Mary watched with great agony, pain at the brutal and unjust killing of her child. Like Eve, who lost her son Abel because Cain killed him, Mary faced what is perhaps the greatest fear of any parent, that is to lose a child. There is no doubt that Mary believed that Jesus was who he was. Because if Mary did not believe him to be the Son of Man, when they were about to crucify him, she would have said to him, stop pretending and save your life. But Mary spoke not a word. Her faith stood solid. Because she remembered, she heard the sound of the wind. Yes, even spiritually, church, life has a way of knocking the wind out of your sails. Yes. What do you do, Lord have mercy, when you lose your wind? What do you do when you lose your zest and your zeal for life? What do you do when you lose the joy of your soul? What do you do when you feel picked out to be picked on, when your faith is tested beyond your capacity to believe? What do you do when you cry out, Lord, I believe, but help thine mine unbelief? What do you do when you lose your wind? Mary lost her wind when Jesus died. But then we see in our text this morning that Mary was counted among the 120 in the upper room. Church, when you lose your wind, let me tell you what you do. You pray. Yes, Lord. When you lose your hope, you pray. When you lose your joy, your peace, and your passion, you pray. because they prayed. The Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost came from heaven sound of a violent wind, and it filled the entire place. And the people there were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with passion, fire, and in their native tongues as the Spirit gave them ability. When the wind blew this time, church, it gave life, but it also gave ability. When the Holy Spirit blew this time, it birthed not a child, but it birthed a church. Yes, now, as the people of God, as the church in the earth, we are empowered to shine the light into the world. We are empowered as a church to do the supernatural out of a natural context. On the day of Pentecost, when they heard and were filled with the wind, but for Mary, good God Almighty, yes, sir, in the room, it was for Mary a second wind. You see, the term second wind is a physical term that speaks to how the body, when being physically challenged through exertion or exercise, exhausts itself. And you feel tired, you feel fatigued. But if you don't quit, if you don't surrender, the body will ultimately make a transition and boost itself, and you will get your breath back. And that's called a second wind. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Pentecost. What Mary lost on Good Friday, she regained it again on Pentecost Sunday. When the wind that impregnated her with the Savior filled her again for service in the world. Mary told me to tell you that when life gets hard and that when things seem tough, Mary told me to tell you that when your situation seems unsolvable and when life knocks the wind out of your sail, Mary told me to tell you, if you pray, and if you hang on in there, you will receive your second wind. You will get your breath back, and you will get everything that you lost along the way. When you get your second wind, whatever life has taken from you, the wind of the Spirit will fill you with what you need. A second wind, you'll get your joy back. A second wind, you'll get your peace back. A second wind, you'll get your power back. You'll get purpose in your life to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. You see, when the wind comes, yes, sir, and impacts your life, God has promised, not by power,
not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. If you are tired and weary, the wind can blow over your life. For the prophet Isaiah said, they that wait on the Lord, I wish I had a praying church, will renew their strength. There is a wind blowing over your life. And if you pray, Pentecost can be born again in your heart. If you don't give up and if you don't surrender, God will fill your cup with a running over blessing if you just hold on and if you just hang on in there. No need to have a pity party, but pray for the power that will elevate you above and beyond anything else. I tell you, church, if we pray and if we get serious about knocking on heaven's door, there will be nothing that we can't do. Because how many of you know there's power, wonder-working power, when the wind blows? And the wind can blow over your life. I came this Sunday. I came this Sunday, deputized by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I came because you all, every one of you, are under arrest. I came to arrest you and to give you the instruction. God has called you to get serious about prayer. God has called you to quit whining and complaining. He said, I see where you are, and I know what you need, but you need to trust the blowing of the wind. If you would get serious about prayer, the wind will blow over your life. You will have the ability to do what you can't do right now. And then when God has lifted you, and an inquiring minds want to know how you do what you do, you just tell them, I heard the sound of the wind. I heard the sound of a promise. God said that I can have what God says I can have. And I can do what God says I can do. Is there anybody in here who knows about the wind blowing? No longer sick, but healed. No longer last, but the head. No longer out, but in. Because the wind is blowing.